62. It was cool and rainy in paradise. The boats were gone. The harbor was back to its normal maritime clutter. Jen had made a meatloaf and baked two potatoes. Jesse had tossed a salad. They sat now at the small table in the kitchen and ate supper together. Jen opened a bottle of Riesling. "Aren't you supposed to have red wine with meatloaf?" Jesse said. "I think with meatloaf you can have what you want," Jen said. "That's one of the good things about meatloaf," Jesse said. "Another being that I know how to make it," Jen said. The apartment was quiet. Through the open door to the balcony, they could hear the rainfall. "I think we're doing good," Jen said after a time. "Yes." "How are you?" Jen said.
"Good."
"And that hideous case is over," Jen said.
"For me," Jesse said.
Jen nodded. "Do you actually know what happened?"
"Sort of," Jesse said.
"One thing I wondered ever since you told me," Jen said. "Why did the twins tell you it was what's-her-name, Kimmy something?"
"Kimmy Young," Jesse said.
"If they'd made up a name or told the truth, you might never have figured it out."
"That's right," Jesse said.
"You think at some level they did it on purpose?"
"Probably."
"Because they wanted you to figure it out?"
"Probably."
"And stop it," Jen said.
"Which I did," Jesse said.
"Do you know how Florence died?"
"Sort of," Jesse said.
Jen waited.
"For whatever reason, after all this time," Jesse said, "Florence decided to stop being Daddy's girl. They had some kind of confrontation about it. The old man never quite says. And she went off and made the video with her sisters and sent it to him."
"Some kind of perverted kiss-off," Jen said.
"I guess," Jesse said.
"He sent it on to Darnell. Plum never quite told me why. Then, he says, he drove up here to reconcile. They always liked sailing, the mother says, so Florence rented a boat, packed a picnic, and they went off for a romantic sail, during which time they argued, and he threw her in the water and sailed off. And he didn't know where she'd gotten the boat, so he just put it the first place he saw."
"Probably," Jesse said.
"God, it's like a lover's quarrel," Jen said.
"Except he was careful to give himself a cover story and drive all the way so there'd be no record of him with the airlines."
Jen put her fork down and looked at Jesse for a long, silent moment.
"Which means he planned to do it before he left," Jen said.
"Uh-huh."
"My God," Jen said.
Jesse didn't say anything.
"The other daughters?"
"Home with Mom," Jesse said.
"You think they'll get over this?"
"Nope."
Jen poured herself some wine.
"So he's destroyed all his children," Jen said.
"And his wife let him," Jesse said.
"How could she deny so much?" Jen said.
"She needed to, I guess."
Jen took a sip of her wine.
"Have you talked with Dix about this?"
"Indirectly," Jesse said.
"You've talked to him about how this affected you?"
"Yes."
"Want to tell me?"
"It was so much about sex and so little about love," Jesse said. "And I was already worried that with you, I'm too much about sex anyway."
Jen listened without comment. Jesse went on.
"Dix says that it's a kind of, what did he call it? Amulet I've created? If what I do can cause us to break up again, then the control is with me because I can change. If it's things you do," Jesse shrugged.
"I guess you need to trust me a little more," Jen said. "Even if my track record isn't so good."
"It's about both of us," Jesse said.
"Maybe I need to trust us both."
Jen smiled and sipped some wine. Jesse watched her.
been a year, he said. I know. I think I'll try a glass of wine, Jesse said. Like that? Jen said. Jesse nodded. Maybe two, he said. You think you should? Jen said. You think you can? Only one way to find out. What if you can't? Then I'll stop again, Jesse said. I've proved I can do that. Have you talked to Dix about this? Jen said. Indirectly, Jesse said. Jen looked at Jesse's wine glass and grinned suddenly. He liked it when she grinned. You sure you want to waste it on wine? Jen said. I could make you a scotch and soda. I want to eat supper with you and drink two glasses of wine, Jesse said. Maybe two, Jen said. They looked at each other. Both of them nodded. Jen poured some wine into his glass, careful to make it a full glass, not to skimp as if she didn't trust him. And, Jen said, you should know that being too sexual with me is a great deal better than not being sexual enough. Jesse smiled. I'll drink to that, he said. This is Scott Sowers. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Sea Change by Robert B. Parker. This program was produced and directed by David Rapkin, executive producer Dan Zitt. Text copyright 2005 by Robert B. Parker. Production copyright 2006, Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.